Now I just keep moving right on over into chapter 12. We're still in our freshman year, but it's very important. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, the man that loves instruction is a man that has a true estimate of what's top priority and what's really of superior values. And that means that he'll listen to instruction. One of the great problems is of getting folk not only to listen to the Word of God, but to obey it. Obedience is absolutely essential. Now will you notice verse 2 and 3. A good man obtaineth favor of Jehovah, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by lawlessness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now I think our Lord gave a parable in the Sermon on the Mount that deals with this. One man built his house on a rock, another built it on sand. And the rock, of course, is Christ, the solid foundation of the Word of God. But it doesn't make any difference. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I don't care who he is, he's coming to a pretty sorry, sad end. He could even be high up in the estimation of man. He may be famous. He may be rich. But God is going to certainly judge man. That is the important thing, I think, here. Now, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, think of the wonderful wives that you have in the Old Testament. You know, Eve was quite a wonderful person, I think, in spite of the fact she listened to the serpent. I believe Sarah was a wonderful wife, although she made a pretty bad suggestion. And I think that you find in the mother of Moses a very wonderful wife, Jochebed. She must have been a wonderful person. But there are others that are not so good. There was Job's wife. She was not very much of a help. It's interesting. Satan took away from Job everything that he leaned upon except his wife. And that must mean she wasn't very much of a help to Job at all. And then, of course, there's that bloody Athaliah. Of course, she had a bad mother in Jezebel. So that you have illustrations, many of them in Scripture, of this. Remember now, this is a lesson for a young man. And the most important course he can take is, of course, how to choose a wife, how to make a choice. The most important thing that any girl has is to choose a husband. I know that Ogden Nash years ago put it in a little doggerel that goes something like this, to make marriage a success. And this is much better than a lot of the courses they're giving today, because these courses don't last. I mean, you drop back in your evil ways after another year after you've had the course. The trouble is that you're not living in the Word of God. If you were, then you wouldn't need the course to begin with. Now listen to Ogden Nash. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, whenever you are wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up. That's good advice, to keep your marriage with love in the loving cup. Now let's move on. We have verse 5 here. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsel of the lawless are deceit. The words of the lawless are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The lawless are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Now, you can well see that God apparently is one that is a square. Let's face it. He believes in law and order. He has a lot to say against the lawless. Now, in verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be exposed to contempt. I think of Gideon and his son. Gideon, He's to be commended according to his wisdom. And Abimelech, his son, was exposed to contempt. And then, verse 9, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. I think you could get a better translation here where it says, better is the poor that provideth for himself. I think that is a better translation. It's rather confusing here, but it looks like the contrast is being made that it is better to be envied than he who delights in making a pompous display while at the same time he has an empty bread basket. How true this is. I think you could put Jacob and Esau down on this proverb. Esau the hungry, and yet he's the one that had the blessing, but attached no importance to it at all. Now will you notice verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the lawless are cruel. I mentioned the other day the thing that impressed me about my dad. He died, was killed in an accident in a cotton gin when I was 14 years old, just at a time when a boy thinks his dad's a hero. Frankly, I've never gotten over it. I always felt he was a wonderful dad. And yet, I do know that he drank and apparently used pretty strong language at times. But I mentioned the fact of how, on one occasion, that he stopped when he saw a gate open and the man's cattle were out. This was out in West Texas. He got out and put them all back in, closed the gate, and got back in the buggy. Never said a word about it at all. And then I remember one time we were driving from Ardmore, Oklahoma, up to Springer, and that was in the good old days when it was a dirt road and we had a horse and buggy. And there was a man ahead of us that was drunk in his buggy, and he was beating his animal. And my dad got out of the buggy. We couldn't get around him to begin with. And my dad got out of the buggy, went up and talked to the man about beating his animal. And the man took offense, naturally, being a drunk, and he got out and he swung at my dad. He missed him, but my dad hit him and really knocked him down, and he told him to get back in that buggy. And my dad took the whip away from him, and he told him, he said, you let that horse alone. You quit beating him. And the man, of course, went on down the road, and we followed him. That impressed me. All of that sort of thing impressed me. And I'm delighted to find in Scripture a proverb like this, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Someone that had a dog, in fact, he had several dogs. He told me, he says, I always judge a man by the reaction of my dogs to him. So dogs know character. They know whether they'd be mistreated by an individual. It's quite interesting that the animal world seems to know human character maybe better than some of us do. And God has a proverb about it. I like it. I trust you do. Verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of heart. In other words, stay on the job. Keep busy. And don't do so much running around. Well, there's a new proverb out today. It's like this. How come the now generation always says later when you ask them to do something? That's what he's saying here. Now will you notice as we move on in this very wonderful chapter here, the lawless desireth the fortress of evil, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Now you'll notice all the way through here we have this contrast that is like this. And I'm going to just lift out certain of these very wonderful proverbs because there is a similarity through here. In other words, there is an emphasis and there is a repetition. And today we are told that there should not be repetition in teaching. Now, after all, that's the best kind of teaching. If you can keep saying it and get by with it, it's a great thing to do. Now we have here verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And I'm sure that the minute that we give you that one, You know who it refers to. We've already had one proverb that's referred to him. It's Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. He wouldn't listen at all to the wise counsel that he had. And then we want to drop on down now to verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, somebody may say something to you that's very strong language. And if your preacher's preaching the truth, he's going to hurt you sometime. I appreciate what someone said in a letter the other day for this broadcast. Every now and then I make the statement, I don't want to be ugly, but I am going to be ugly because I'm going to say something strong. And this party said, go on being ugly, Dr. McGee, in your beautiful way. Well, I don't know how beautiful it is, but I intend to say what to share. And if your preacher is preaching the truth, there are times when he's going to put a sword right in your heart, friends. And if you're not willing to accept it, well, the hypocrite always covers up, you see, by hatred and bitterness. And that's the reason that I said some time ago that I'm always doubtful of a man, a little afraid of him, if he's highly critical of his preacher. That is, if he's nice to his face, but to his back he's sticking a knife in him. Now, here, but the tongue of the wise is health. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the lawless shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to Jehovah, but they that deal truly are his delight. Now, all of these verses here have to do with the tongue, the lying tongue, and the lips of truth, and they're put in contrast here. Now, again, may I repeat something we've said before. The Word of God has more to say about the tongue and in judgment of the tongue than it does about the use and abuse of alcohol. And yet, a lying tongue and a gossip can get by today in Christian circles. But a drunkard, I tell you, we would read him out, wouldn't we, of our fellowship. But what about that gossip? We do nothing about it. And yet the Word of God has more to say about that than anything else. Now we continue on in the book of Proverbs, and we are here at Chapter 12 at verse 22 is where we're going to put in today. And this is a very wonderful verse. We left off at this point. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And what he's saying here is tell the truth. A child of God, there's one thing that should characterize his life. And that is that he tell the truth. Then we move on into this chapter. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, a prudent man will not say things that are going to hurt someone. You've probably been in a crowd when there's been some foolish person there, big mouth person generally, that says in that crowd something that casts a reflection on some individual, and always, of course, someone that's not present. And that's the thing that he's talking about here. A prudent man would not say that, but that is the heart of a fool that will say things like that. Then we read verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, actually, some of these proverbs don't seem to fit in our contemporary culture. And, very frankly, I don't think they do, for the very simple reason, it's not always the diligent that's elected to office. And the slothful are the ones that pay taxes. I'm not sure it's that way today. I don't want to come in under the category of being lazy. But I do have to pay taxes, and Very frankly, I feel like that they're excessive and extreme, and I think something should be done about the way that money is being spent. But I have gone over these Proverbs again, actually in prayer. I have asked God for light on this, and I must confess an ignorance, but I believe that these Proverbs are to all be considered in the light of eternity, that the measuring stick for Proverbs is eternity, and it doesn't mean the local situation. It means in the light of eternity. And aren't we told today that someday that we are going to rule with Christ? And I think that that also means, provided we're diligent today, I do not believe that every believer in heaven is going to be on the same plane. I think there'll be different gradations. I personally would be very embarrassed if I found myself on the same plane of the apostles and sitting next to Paul the apostle. I'd be greatly, actually humiliated because I don't think I belong there. And I think there'll be different planes. But I do think the diligent are to rule with him. And many of these Proverbs are to be looked at, I believe, in the light of eternity. That would be my explanation of many of these that are here. And so many of them, though, are geared right down to shoe leather today. Now, will you notice verse 25? Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. In other words, how forcible are right words? You remember Job said to his friends, right words bring comfort and cheer and encouragement to those that are grieving or bitterness of spirit or having a problem. And we need to recognize that. You don't beat a person down that is having trouble at all. Verse 26, the righteous searcheth out his neighbor, but the way of the lawless seduceth them. In other words, the righteous man wants to help his neighbor, but there's some neighbors that are going to try to hurt you, and we need to be very careful. The righteous man, if he finds you're wrong, he's going to come and talk to you about it and face you with it. Nathan was the best friend David ever had. And yet it was Nathan who had the courage to point his finger and said, you're the man. Something you've got to straighten out in your life. Well, how wonderful that is to recognize that we've got a good friend, one of the best friends I ever had, a man who helped me through school. And when I first started in the ministry, the Lord was gracious to me, let me be pastor of a church. It had been my home church where people loved me, and they were very sympathetic with me because I was pretty much of an amateur to be pastor of such a large and prominent church in that day. But they were very good to me, and I never shall forget. I heard a man speak at Winona Lake, and to me he was great. And I tried to imitate him. I even tried to imitate his accent. And my church discovered that. They'd just sit there and smile. But very few said anything about it at all. And I had received no harsh criticism. This man who'd helped me through school, he invited me to lunch. He said to me just one thing, and I never shall forget it. It was a good proverb. He said, Vernon, we would rather have a genuine Vernon McGee than an imitation anybody else. That's all he said. And friends, that's all he needed to say. Then from then on, I began being Vernon McGee. Now, that may not have been good, but it was better than trying to imitate somebody else. How forcible are right words? And the righteous, he searcheth out his neighbor. He helps his neighbor. But the lawless, he'll seduce him. He goes over and pats him on the back. And then when his back is turned, he crucifies him. My, how these Proverbs gear right down into your neighborhood. Right down into your church, right down where you work today. Now, verse 27, and some of them are rather humorous. This one is, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. In other words, he went out and shot a deer, but he was too lazy to skin the deer and cut up the meat, cook it and eat it. You've got to be lazy to be like that as a hunter. And there's many a fisherman that'll fish and won't clean the fish. But the substance, we're told, of a diligent man is precious. In other words, he takes care of that. And you remember Ruth, when she went out and gleaned in the field? Boaz had been generous to her, but you know, when she got home, we're told she beat out that which she had gleaned. I tell you, she was willing to take that which she had gotten in such an easy way, but she wanted to beat it out and make the grain. You know what she could have done? She could have come and thrown it down in front of Naomi and said, look what I've done. I got it, now you beat it out. But she didn't do that. What a spirit is revealed here in this type of a life. Won't hurt you to wash the dishes every now and then. I've learned since I've retired, I belong to a club known as the Honeydew Club, and I'm at home more now, and it's honeydew this and honeydew that. And I found out something that I quit doing long time ago as a boy. I used to tell my mother, when I grow up, I'm never going to wash dishes again. Well, I must be in my second childhood because I'm washing them again. But it won't hurt you to do that, by the way. Verse 28, in the way of righteousness there is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. What a wonderful vista opens to the child of God. Now, physical death is ahead of us if the Lord tarry, but eternal life is out yonder. Proverbs are to be looked at in the light of eternity, and that ought to give you a good day with that before you, Christian friend.